We see in the gospel, and actually in the first reading, a close connection from the first reading we hear that, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And then the gospel, "Be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." And I think if we actually wanted to, we could boil down almost the entirety of the message of sacred scriptures into these words: "Be perfect, just as the Lord your God is perfect." Everything else is just kind of supplemental commentary, including the two great commandments, to love God and love thy neighbor. It falls under this domain of just be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And every year we come around and we hear this gospel passage, and I think for some of us it might even cause us to feel a little bit of shame that perhaps I'm not living this gospel as our Lord has commanded me to. And if I may, today we need to address that. Because if we look at the commands of the Lord and see them as nothing but simply that, as commands, as things to be obeyed, as things to be followed, unless we kind of, you know, get the displeasure of God as a result of it, then it is going to be a taxation. It's going to be a burden. It's going to be something that perhaps we don't truly want to carry, when the entire point of Jesus' message was to free us from burden, was to free us from sin, from strife. If I may share with you real quickly, you know, me and my dad, we used to go to the drive-thru. And of course, every time you go through the drive-thru, they hand you your food and they say, "Have a nice day." To which my dad would actually sometimes respond and goes, "Well, thanks. Go ahead, put the pressure on me. Now I have to have a nice day." And they just wouldn't know how to respond. They'd stand there and stare for like 10 minutes and be like, I'm sorry. I hope you have a good day. It's as if, you know, the thought process never really occurred to them that it, just wishing someone a good day doesn't mean you have to try to have a good day. That never really entered their mind. They never thought about it from that perspective. But in a similar way, that's what Jesus is doing here in our gospel passage today, as he says, why is there a need to have a command for you to love your friend or to love your family? That's like telling a two-year-old you don't have to eat your vegetables at dinner. You're wasting your breath. You didn't have to say it. I'm not going to do it. Or I am going to do it. I am going to love my friend. I am going to love my family. It's something very natural to love. I think 10 out of 10 people, if I were to interview them, would say they would much rather love and be at peace rather than be hateful and in conflict with someone. 10 out of 10 people, I would almost guarantee, because it is natural for us to love. And that's more or less what Jesus is saying. Just do what comes natural. Love. And if I may today offer two points that I would just simply offer to you for reflection. One, there is a very strong difference between anger and hatred. Because our gospel passage today is not saying don't ever be angry with your enemy. Don't ever be angry with those who commit injustice. In fact, from the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, we see pictures and images of God being angry at injustice, being angry at evil, being angry at those who hurt others. But anger is different from hatred. Anger is a natural response to evil. Hatred is willing, seeking, wishing the downfall of someone. And if we know anything from God, he has never, ever been about that. What we know is that his glory, his power is revealed not in condemnation. He simply can't do it. He can't will the condemnation. He can't will the downfall of someone. His glory is only revealed in raising people up. We ourselves as human beings, we choose to ignore God's love. We choose perhaps at times to bring about our own downfall, our own condemnation. But it is never from the Lord. His only glory, his only power is in raising up, and so it is with us. Anger is just a simple momentary energy that we use to right a wrong. It's not an end in and of itself, but it can be a gift as opposed to hatred. And secondly, we look to the saints for our inspiration, for our example. And if I may offer today the example of St. Damian of Malachi, who is, I think we can truly say, really lived out this, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Offer no resistance to one who is evil. Go above and beyond the call of duty. As St. Damian went from his order and spent time in Hawaii with the leper colony there, administering to them, really truly treating them as brothers and sisters. And it's important to think about that. Because when he talks about treating this person as his brother, as his sister, he's not really expecting an extraordinary reward for it. He's not expecting something grand as a kind of settlement for what he is doing. He is literally treating these people as if his own brother or his own sister were to call him up and to say, "Hey, I'm not feeling well. Can you pick me up some chicken noodle soup? Hey, I'm having a difficult time getting around the house. Can you come give me a hand?" That's really truly what it means. To love people, to love each other, and to go out of our way and to not really expect some great reward. It's natural for us to love. This passage should never ever cause us to feel shame. Should never ever cause us to beat ourselves up because we're not fulfilling it. Maybe perhaps all this passage is meant to do is to offer us a little bit of humility. "I'm not there yet, Lord, but I want to be. I want to be. And so I put my trust and my faith in you." Dear friends, we must never lose that desire to go above and beyond the call of duty for our friends or our enemies, for those who hate us, for those who love us. We are all children of the Most High God, and we must let our sun rise on both the bad and the good, and cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust.